Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, good morning to you. It is Thursday. Happy to be able to say that this morning. The third day of October. The month is rolling on. Imagine that. We are just a little less than a month away from Election Day. Wow. Lots and lots at stake in America. Hopefully Americans make the right decision. We need to make this thing too big to steal this time around. In Missouri, though, specifically, this Amendment 3 thing has got a lot of people worried, right? It's ramped up the crazy left pink hat crowd. They're going to show up to vote on Election Day, or they're going to vote early, or whatever they're going to do, because they're so desperate to keep the murder of children legal, right? Abortion. They want abortion. That's all they're focused on. They're running all these lying ads on TV, millions of dollars of out-state money being sent into Missouri to run these ads. Coming up in the next hour, we're going to talk to Mary Catherine Martin. She's with the Thomas More Society. She's an attorney there. She's talking about some of the wording in this amendment and what it would do beyond abortion, like allowing your child to go get on puberty blockers even if their parents don't want them to. There's all kinds of things you need to know that could happen because of the way this amendment is written. You've got to be a no on three. We're going to give you more reasons for that coming up here at about 7:35 this morning. Welcome into Rumble. If you're following us on Rumble, that is great. We are no longer live on Facebook for now until they lift us out of Facebook jail at some point. Not sure when that'll be. Maybe next week. We'll see. We'll probably put the show back up live on there when we can. In the meantime, you can follow us on Rumble. A lot of our Facebook friends have joined us over there. That's great. You don't have to sign up for an account, although it's free. But if you want to chat, you have to sign up for an account. You can always watch on X. We usually get a lot of viewers each morning on the platform there at Mark Cox 971 and 97.1 FM Talk. We've got on there as well. So however you get here, listen, we appreciate it. You can download the podcast.
Catch
as well.
Anything you missed today by getting the show podcast at 971talk.com.
Just in case you missed that, we thought we would play it one more time for you. Coming up, we're going to get to Joel Chernoff. He's Jewish, right? Celebration Day to you guys. Happy New Year to my Jewish friends out there. We're going to talk to Joel. He was in Israel on October 7th, and now we're waiting for Israel's response to Iran, and I'm anxious to see how that's going to go. We're going to get to him coming up here in just a couple of minutes, even though it's a holiday for them. He's agreed to come on and join us this morning. We're going to do that next, but first I want to get to our top stories, Carl.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
But the reason I would call him weird is the infatuation he has with women who have no children. Yeah. I think the infatuation he has with my wife's vagina or her uterus or her cervix.
Wow. How about that? This is some nutty lefty on CNN named Bakari Sellers, who thinks that he doesn't like J.D. Vance because he's infatuated with his wife's private parts. I have never picked up on that, but that's what he said yesterday.
Do you think he was more comfortable in those issues than your dad was in the last debate?
Well, I don't think, it wasn't necessarily a 3-on-1 debate. It started that way. I think J.D. Vance shut that down.
Yeah. Don Trump Jr. doing an interview there with Caitlin Collins of CNN, and boy, he read her the riot act. He just destroyed her on that question, I thought, and I'll play that for you coming up.
He's been asked about it twice, once by Dana Bash, once in this debate. And in both cases, he sort of defaulted to some, like, in Dana's case, it was, I don't have good grammar. Tonight, I think he said, you know, well, I'm just a knucklehead.
Yeah, I think that's a guy you should elect as potentially the next president of the United States, who because he misspoke and has misspoken repeatedly, refers to himself as a knucklehead. Vote for the knucklehead. I'm not sure that's ever a winning message.
Jim, admit that 13,099 murders have been led into this country. That's Corey. Four murderers for every single county in America. But, you don't think that that's a problem?
Yeah, remember Jim the Acoster from CNN? That's who that was there, talking to Corey Lewandowski. Corey's out there talking about important issues for America and illegal aliens coming into America. And Jim Acosta doesn't care about any of that. All he cares about is that Corey Lewandowski might have mispronounced Kamala Harris's name. He called her Kamala instead of Kamala. And he stopped in the middle of the interview when he's making an important point and wants to know, wait a minute, stop. Why did you call her the wrong name?
Well, you can tell when he said Kamala that he instantly got irritated and almost stopped listening because he was so focused on, why are you calling her Kamala? It's Kamala.
Listen to the whole exchange. I mean, you're talking about important stuff here, and this is what CNN is worried about. Go to cut 9, please.
Corey, can you say that Haitian migrants are not eating pets in Springfield? Can you say
You know what I can say, Jim? I can say that 13,099 murders were led into this country, 16,000 rapists, 425,000 people in the last 4 years have been led into this country by Kamala Harris and Joe Biden's own Customs and Border Protection that are running around this country, Jim.
The other thing, too, it's Kamala Harris. I don't know. Why do you guys say Kamala? That is, it's Kamala Harris.
Jim, we know that they're committing crimes against Americans. Why can't these individuals talk about the individuals who've been killed by illegal immigrants? 13,099 murderers have been led into this country by this administration's own accounting, and you guys don't want to talk about it. To put that in perspective,
Corey, we talk about immigration all the time.
Jim, admit that 13,099 murders have been led into this country. That's Corey. Four murderers for every single county in America. You don't think that's a problem?
But Corey, why did you call her Kamala? I don't care that they're letting murderers into the country, Corey. They're voters. They're not murderers. They're voters, potential voters.
Corey did a good job responding to that. Yeah. However, I think he actually missed an opportunity there to say, why do you care so much? Why is it more important for you to make sure I pronounce her name right rather than talk about the fact that 13,000 murderers have been led across the border under Kamala Harris and Joe Biden's leadership? Is that more important to you, CNN? He could have absolutely hammered that point, and he didn't.
And some would be murderers. Some will be murderers.
Good point.
Like the guy locally who killed one of our St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department officers last week. Led into this country illegally, broke in illegally, living here for the last 6 or 7 years, apparently drinking heavily. And why wasn't he kicked out in 2020 when he was arrested for DWI? How is he still running around? All these questions, and we're focused on whether or not it's Kamala or Kamala or Kamala. Who cares? It's bad. That's all that matters about that name. The person who has that name is bad for America. That's what you need to know. All right, coming up, we're going to switch focus here, talk about Israel, the very real threat they face. We're going to talk to Joel Chernoff about what's going on over there. In fact, he was in Israel on October 7th a year ago when they were attacked by Hamas.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back in just a minute.
Well, when President Biden says that Israel shouldn't go near Iran's nuclear sites, that should not be part of the response you're considering. Is Israel heeding that message, or is that still something that's on the table?
We have an open dialogue with the administration, but you know, I want to weigh the question, what we want to do, to wait for Iran to have a nuclear capability, and then they can put that on ballistic missiles and launch nuclear ballistic missiles into Israel. When you see a rogue nation that is sending 200 ballistic missiles into civilian population, you have to stop them. So if it's not going to be us doing it now, it should be the responsibility of the U.S. and other Western democracies to block Iran from achieving nuclear capability.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it will be too late.
One of the Israeli ambassadors on with CNN yesterday, Caitlin Collins, like, well, what do you want them to do? Well, I don't know. What do you want us to do? Wait until they're launching nukes at us? I mean, that's kind of how silly I believe U.S. policy is toward this right now. Want to welcome in our guest, Joel Chernoff, who's with us this morning, founder of the Israeli-based humanitarian aid organization, the Joseph Project International. And Joel, happy Rosh Hashanah to you. Thanks for joining us today.
Shalom to you, Mark, and Shana Tova. God bless you.
Well, thank you for giving me a few minutes. Now, as I believe I read here, you were there in Israel, right, on October 7th, almost a year ago, when that terrorist attack happened by Hamas. And I can't believe we're where we are a year later.
Yes. I was there with my wife. We were there. We had flown in October the 6th, which was a Friday, and we were there for an international Messianic Jewish conference. And so we had a wonderful Shabbat or a Sabbath dinner, went to bed, and then in the morning, sirens were going off. I didn't think anything of it much. And then all of a sudden, there was a major explosion. And we were somewhere halfway between Jerusalem and Tel Aviv in a very nice hotel. And I said, wait a minute, this is not normal. And I jumped out of bed and I ran outside, and sure enough, everybody was streaming into the bomb shelters. And we both got up, ran into the bomb shelters. And it took us a few hours to figure out, there's 30 dead, there's 50 dead, 100 dead. Wow, this is a major event. This is going to be big. And sure enough, by the end of the day, it was a full-blown war, and we were in it. It was a privilege to be there and to stand with our people in a time of great stress. We still had the conference. We only had to run for the shelters a few times, and it took us a few more days to get out of the country and to come back home.
Well, and now a year later, Joel, you have Iran sending almost 200 missiles over to Israel. What do you think is the appropriate response? Because we don't obviously know when or how Israel plans to respond, but we know it will happen.
Well, I think that the appropriate response is that Israel, if it isn't now, when? I mean, they need to go over, they need to take care of the nuclear threat, and if it's possible, also maybe set them back financially and bomb the oil refineries. This is the time to do it after they've been attacked like this, and a very dangerous attack. So I would say that is an appropriate response, and the U.S. should be standing strongly with Israel and support them in that.
Yeah, I don't feel like we've seen that. I think they pay a lot of lip service to it, but they're also constantly trying to rein Israel in its response. I mean, in my opinion, if you put in a 40 or 50 or 60 day pause in whatever's going on, it just gives your enemy time to regroup.
Oh, I know. It's complete nonsense. It's totally political.
And of course, Israel is fighting for the survival of the country. There is no way Bibi is going to listen to that. He's going to do now what he needs to do. And frankly, I would be concerned about telling them in advance that you're going to do it.
So Joel, before I get to the point where we're running out of time here, remember, Joel Chernoff is my guest. He's the head of the Joseph Project International. What is your message? Donald Trump got in trouble recently for making some pretty pointed comments to American Jews about how they may vote in this upcoming election. What was your reaction to what he said?
Well, I mean, I can understand the frustration because Donald Trump as president was the greatest presidential friend Israel ever had. So I can understand he can't figure out why our people in mass don't support him when the Democratic Party is clearly institutionalizing anti-Semitism, anti-Israel sentiment. It's baffling, but I can understand it. I do believe that the Jewish community in the United States is getting the message over time, and more are deserting the Democratic Party the Republican Party.
Joel, I've got less than a minute here. Tell me how people can support what you do with Joseph Project International.
Sure. www.josephproject.org. Go there, josephproject.org. Joseph Project International is the largest importer of humanitarian aid in the country. And since October the 7th of last year, we have put $20 million plus into the economy of Israel, into the IDF, the Israel Defense Forces, taking care of the terrorist victims and the displaced Israelis from the south and the north of the country. It's a tough situation.
Joel Chernoff, happy new year to you. Thanks for giving me some time.
Thank you, sir. God bless you. Shalom.
A great sports mind like Tom Ackerman.
Baseball's really not a hard sport.
It is Anchorman, not Anchorlady.
It's like powered by coffee this morning.
Sports, sponsored by McDonald's, reminding you to round up your total for Ronald McDonald House Charities on your next order.
Yeah, Tom Ackerman in studio with us. He had a late night at Nicki Minaj, I understand. So sorry that you're tired this morning, Tom.
I was asleep. I like Nicki Minaj, though. Yeah, she's good.
Carl said that she played till 1 a.m. They didn't finish till 1 a.m. Now, they got a hockey game tonight. So then they had to go in and start tearing down everything so they can...
They're very efficient. Tom probably remembers when they used to have Billiken games in the afternoon and then turn it over for a hockey game at night.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, totally.
What's that process like?
I would cover those games. I would do a double dip. So I'd cover the basketball game.
That was before Chaffetz.
Go to the station and like do, you know, a quick sports open line or whatever before the Blues. And then you come back and boom, they got the ice right underneath it. So they just pick the pieces off.
Okay.
And go. Those are the days where if you were sitting courtside, you had to wear double socks because
so cold.
The ice was right underneath your feet. So
Nicki played on top of the ice last night.
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that. I thought maybe they drained it and started over again.
No. Yeah, they covered up. Yeah.
It takes like 2 days to make it.
Yeah. They do in Evansville. There's a couple of places. Evansville, I think, is one because it's a hockey arena. There's a couple places where they do basketball and they keep the ice underneath it. Staples, I'm sure. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So, I've been anxious to talk to you about the big Cardinals news conference that we talked about earlier this week.
Do you think they
accomplished what they were after?
Yes, but I would have done it a little differently. But it's hard to change, Bill DeWitt Jr. is the chairman, and he's going to have his talking points, and he's always going to try to promote his own team and be positive. So, the one thing that I would have changed if I were them is I would have not had him say, 83 wins this year. I think that's exciting. Fans have something exciting to look forward to, et cetera. Like, if you can't sell the fan base that last year was fun. Even though technically, yes, they did improve. They won 12 more games. We all know what we saw. I mean, we saw a team that was just kind of like pulling it together. If not for Ryan Helsley, they might have been a 71 win team again. I mean, so it should have been about Heim Bloom. It should have been, all about that. The fact that this young guy, 41 years old, is now going to take over for John Mozeliak. That is what you should have hyped up. In fact, they probably should have made him available for some one-on-one interviews afterwards, just so the TV and radio people can kind of get to know him a little bit better, because he is a brilliant guy who completely changed the game when it comes to minor league systems. The Tampa Bay Rays are still the envy of baseball. The Boston Red Sox, in just 2.5 years, and their ownership can't ever figure out what they want to do, he still went down and changed their minor league system. The Red Sox have an awesome farm system now, and Chaim Bloom put his magic touch on that.
That's pretty good.
So he's going to do it here. But you've got to give him the resources and the money to do it. And you have to give your fan base some hope. And what you have to do is you got to pull them into it. I mean, you got to tell the fans what is going on. You got to be very clear about what this future is. They are going to reduce payroll, yes. How much, though, we don't really know. And some of that has to do with the fact that the TV deal is still up in the air and they don't know how much money they're going to get. They used to get $76 million a year for that. So they're not really sure what that deal is yet. And they're probably going to take a pretty big hit on revenue no matter what they do. But they have to be able to explain. I think there's a large portion of the Cardinals fans who are on board with this. Like, it's time. Let's revamp this thing. Let's get our young stars moving here. You watched Major League Baseball yesterday. You watched that postseason. The Brewers won yesterday over the Mets. You know how they did it? A 20-year-old kid named Jackson Churio, who hit 2 home runs and was the star of the day yesterday in Major League Baseball. He's 20. You're telling me they didn't give him a path to stardom and say, here, we trust you. You're going to be our next guy. Go get it. And they taught him, and because the Brewers minor league system is awesome, they taught him the fundamentals from the get-go and got him going. The Cardinals have to do this. I mean, they cannot patch together free agents and think that that's a solution. Somewhere along the line, it was about 10 years ago, they just settled on their farm system thinking it was going to be great always, and everybody passed them just about. And so it's time for them to promote Chaim Bloom and celebrate this thing. And John Mozeliak's going to be under contract. We all get that. But I would kind of move him back a little bit and just let him do his work and push Chaim in front and let people ask and see and get updates of what he's doing. Because I think he's really good.
Yeah. I might have given Bill DeWitt Jr. or Sr. A Red Bull before this thing started, and maybe a new script writer. He could have messaged that a lot. He could have been more enthusiastic, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, it's just who he is. Like, he's not going to get up there and pound his fist and all that stuff.
He's just not.
Yeah.
Give the guy whatever they give Joe Biden and kind of amp him up a little bit.
Some Adderall, maybe?
Hey, I know you don't always have a lot of time here, and this morning you got to run out the door, but we lost Pete Rose since we talked last.
Yeah. Sorry to hear that.
That breaks my heart, man. Charlie Hustle, poor guy. You think he gets into the Hall posthumously here?
I'm not sure.
At some point?
I'm not sure.
How can there be a Hall if the all-time hits leader's not in it?
I'm not sure. I mean, I think that the Hall of Fame really needs to tell the story of everything. And so it's okay to put in the all-time hits leader and then tell the story and explain to people right there on the plaque and say that he was banned from baseball, that this is what happened. And, you know, he is in his stuff is in the Hall of Fame, his accomplishments and everything. Like, if you go into the museum, he's everywhere. But in the actual hall itself with all the greats, he's not. So it is sad because, you know, he was one of the all time great players. But, you know, he also made a big mistake and lied about it and tried to cover it up and all that stuff. So it's just a sad story all around. But it really is.
Yeah, if he just had a PR person to like Shohei Ohtani,
an interpreter,
he might have been okay.
Yeah.
Too big. I imagine that was it, wasn't it? That Ohtani was just too big to mess with.
Well, I don't know that Ohtani bet on baseball. I mean, I know that his interpreter stole money from him and bet on baseball. So I mean, that was the thing there. They investigated Pete Rose. It's a different deal. I mean, they investigated
Pete Rose. I know. I'm just
Mark, do you want to be my interpreter?
Sure.
And maybe you could do some bets for me?
Yeah, actually, I'll just take a half million of your money and go
I've got that.
And play some bets.
Got plenty of money, for you to go in and take that much.
What's going on with SLU? Did I see where their star player's out for a while with a twisted ankle or something? Is this going to affect the season?
He has a sprained ankle. Robbie Avila is out probably 2 to 4 weeks. I don't think so. He's going to miss some practice, but he'll be ready to go.
He
might be ready. Yeah, I have to go do a sportscast. He might be ready to go for the opener, though.
Oh, good.
But yeah, I think it gives another guy an opportunity to learn the position, but they'll be okay. From what I understand, it's a lateral sprain. I had Josh Schertz on the show, and he didn't seem too concerned about it. It's unfortunate. I mean, in basketball, though,
a lot
of people can step on your foot, and that's exactly what happened.
Yep. Good.
All right,
Tommy, thank you. Appreciate it.
See you, Tom.
See you, guys.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
I was going to bring up, I know Tom has to go, I was going to bring up the Blues because I know that tonight's their last preseason game, and they've won two preseason games?
One.
Okay.
They're right. 1-4.
I know they say this
preseason
isn't.
Preseason doesn't matter.
Yeah, I know. But come on, anybody watching those games, not like I'm following them super closely by any means, but I'm just saying anyone watching is not going to be super jazzed going into the regular season based on what has happened with the preseason, right? Well, that's fair to say.
They do the preseason to see who's going to make the team. Because they've already dropped in
so
the last week.
So basically anybody who's played preseason probably don't have them.
Well, since the 5 preseason games, they've sent, I want to say, 22 people back down to the minors.
Wow. Didn't know that.
Did you see where the WNBA ratings dropped off significantly after Caitlin Clark's team lost?
Really?
Yeah. Like, took a nosedive.
Oh, and you forgot to mention that Mike Schilt is still in the playoffs.
Oh, yeah. We did mention that. We forgot to mention that, didn't we?
Yeah, the Padres.
Won two games,
still.
And the Padres
they're under the
are
next,
moving
next
on.
Next round.
Glad we got rid of that guy.
Just saying. Well.
He's a troublemaker. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. All right, quick break here. We're back in just a couple of minutes with NFL News. Stay tuned.
What's happening?
Go, you know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In other news.
Pink Floyd has sold its music catalog to Sony Music for $400 million. The sale includes the band's recorded music rights, but not their publishing. Additionally, the band has granted Sony rights to their name, likeness, merchandise, and potential movie or TV adaptions.
So I wonder why publishing would be ruled out of that.
I don't know. Because they're still going to make money. One guy's dead.
Yeah.
One guy retired. And so, but most of the publishing, most of the songs were written by Roger Waters.
Uh-huh.
Next, way down the list, would be David Gilmour. And then Nick Mason, not really, and Richard Wright has passed.
So you're just cashing in and calling it a day, huh?
I mean,
I don't blame.
Well.
I guess I don't blame him. You can do it. Why not?
$400 million?
And you're still going to get money when people use your songs.
But they're going to have to split that, right?
Yeah.
Like, well, whoever's left.
I'm guessing like 75-25.
Yeah, probably.
I just think it would be higher, to be honest, because Queen got $1.27 billion for theirs. So
yeah,
you would
that's
think
amazing.
Pink Floyd would be kind of higher, but maybe Sony got a deal. It looks like Hoda announced that she will be stepping down from the Today Show early next year, ending nearly a 3 decades on NBC News. She co-hosted with Savannah Guthrie from 2018, forming the show's first all-female anchor team. According to insiders, they say her departure stems from contract negotiations, where she reportedly was earning $7 million a year, but did not secure the deal she wanted. So
I get that. I asked for $9 million. I only got $8 million. It was frustrating, but I was willing to accept it.
We're
I
glad
it
you didn't
20.
Walk away. We're really glad. Yeah, I don't know how many people are going to give her sympathy. I saw the Blubberfest or some highlights from it the other day when she announced it, where they're all crying and acting like if it's really a contract negotiation. What was that all about?
Well, I thought that she was saying, you know, she's got young kids. I think she just adopted.
Yeah, I thought she wanted
so
to stay
was,
home with
she was,
seven.
Okay, so 4 and 7. And she was saying she wanted to be able to walk them to the school, whatever the case may be, have more time with her kids. So it's kind of set up like that. And then you hear, actually, she wanted more money and they wouldn't pay her. So it's not like she's voluntarily leaving because she wants to spend more time with her family, although I'm sure she does. It's, no, they wouldn't pay me enough.
Yeah, yeah.
Not feel, quite as sappy as
less,
it was
bad for her now.
Set up to be, yeah.
Ken Kalay, he's a sound engineer and producer. He was on Fleetwood Mac's Rumors. He's suing playwright David Adjemi for copyright infringement over the play Stereophonic. The lawsuit also names the play's Broadway producers, theater owner, and nonprofit developers as defendants. Apparently, him and his co-author Steven Stiefel alleged that their 2012 memoir, Making Rumors, inspired a significant portion of the play Stereophonic.
And today's Lindsay Buckingham's birthday.
How about that?
75.
Aw.
So.
Love him.
We'll see if they get any money out of it, I guess.
That's what it's all about.
I know. It always is. A San Diego doctor, Dr. Mark Chavez, pleaded guilty in Los Angeles federal court to charges of conspiring to distribute ketamine in connection with the death of actor Matthew Perry. Chavez is one of two doctors among five individuals charged in Perry's death. Faces up about 10 years in prison and will be sentenced on April 2nd of next year.
I'm really glad they're holding some people accountable for that. I mean, clearly his demons were his own, but he got a lot of assistance there near the end, unfortunately.
Do we know what happened with the so-called ketamine queen?
I wasn't in there. She's still a queen, I guess.
Yeah, she's still
still selling that ketamine to whoever's willing to pay for it.
I think she's in trouble, but...
A rare signed copy of the U.S. Constitution, one of only eight printed in 1787 for delegates of the Constitutional Convention, has been discovered in a North Carolina home. The document, found by a family that cared for the Hayes Plantation for seven generations, was uncovered during a property clean-out before its transfer to the state for preservation. Apparently, it's going to go up for auction, and they expect it to fetch about $20 million.
Rutherford B. Hayes?
How in the world was that thing not... Did it not just disintegrate? I mean, the one they've got an actual copy of, they keep in climate-controlled...
You'd have to.
Didn't you see National Treasure, Mark?
I know. I don't buy any of that. Something hid behind a brick somewhere in Washington, D.C.
Nice.
Yeah.
Choi Soon-ha, she's an 81-year-old model, competed in the Miss Universe Korea pageant.
Oh, my.
Aiming to become the oldest contestant in Miss Universe history. Despite performing well, including participating in the singing competition, she did not win the crown, but she did receive the Best Dress Award. The title went to 22-year-old fashion student Han Ariel, who will represent South Korea in the Miss Universe pageant in Mexico City in November.
81 years old.
They respect their elders there.
Did she do like a bathing suit portion? Or?
I mean,
did she wear like, what do they used to call it? Like a bathing bathing gown?
Look her up.
I am looking her up.
Are you looking it up?
Yeah.
I mean, for 81 years old, she's an attractive lady.
So she absolutely is. She's very pretty.
Tim found her.
She'd changed her gender. Maybe she could have won. I don't know. You just got to wonder these days.
You're not wrong, Mark.
I'm just telling you. All right. Coming up. All right. Thank you. Appreciate that. Coming up in the next hour, I've got Mary Catherine Martin joining us. She is senior counsel with the Thomas More Society, talking about some of the things you haven't heard about what Amendment 3 would do if this disaster passes on the November ballot, including taking away parental rights. We're going to get to all that and more at 7:35.
Get more at 971talk.com. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.